You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number two on FST. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're giving away World Series tickets on Fantasy Sports Radio Network this time. It's the winner of free DFS baseball contest. The contests are sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival, and while 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their families, 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. You can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets playing free daily fantasy baseball by going to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. Your ticket to the World Series and someone's ticket to life. So thank you for joining us for hour number two. And we're bringing in Brandon Williams. You can find him on Twitter at BCWilliams71. He's a fantasy sports columnist for the Associated Press and for our very own Roto experts. So excited to have you on, Brandon. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be on, guys. How are Saturday morning working for you so far?
Good. So far, so good. You know, when I was doing some research for this week's show, and we're doing the NFC West today, we're doing our divisional breakdowns. Keep in mind, we're doing NFC North tomorrow. But an article that sort of spoke to me was an article that you can find in the exclusive Edge package on Roto Experts that you wrote. And I love this sort of thought about not practicing age discrimination with certain guys in fantasy football. And it tied into our NFC West preview because there's a couple of guys on there that I think fantasy owners think they're being wise and getting out a year early on some of these guys. But I've been making a living on Larry Fitzgerald, for example, for the last few seasons. But, you know, we're focusing on the Niners a little bit here. We'll talk about Fitz as well. But Pierre Garçon is another guy. He's 32 years of age, and he went out with a neck injury last year. And it's obviously really scary for any football player, but particularly one that's on the wrong side of 30. But you feel like there is some evidence that Jimmy Garoppolo and Pierre Garçon could work well together this season.
I think there's no question that they can. Garçon has been healthy all spring. He and Garoppolo have worked well together in the offseason. So when you look at the fact that this is a guy who has consistently had over 100 targets throughout the last 7 years of his career prior to last season, you get the sense that he's going to bounce back. I think that when you look at Garçon, this is a guy that's probably going to be drafted as a wide receiver 3, probably is a good flex option in PPR leagues. But I think that he has the potential to be much more this season. I think a lot of people are going to disregard him, but I think the fact that Marquise Goodwin had such a strong finish to 2017, signed the new contract extension, I think a lot of people are going to focus a lot on Goodwin, but at the same time, Garcon's going to be that guy that slips, and I think especially in PPR leagues, he is going to be someone that's going to really pay off. I think that he's going to be a strong value pick going into the season.
Well, Brandon, for any of it to hit, right, it all comes with the success or the failure of Jimmy Garoppolo. We only got a couple of games from him last year, but what we got, it certainly was encouraging. Are you all in on Jimmy G for this upcoming season?
I'm encouraged by what I saw from Garoppolo at the end of last season. You know, the 49ers were 5-0. They averaged more than 30 points per game in their last three. In his last three games, he had 21, 26, and 21 fantasy points. So this is a guy that, you know, to me, they're going to build this offense around. Now, you know, you look at the fact that Kyle Shanahan, had a big factor behind what Matt Ryan did in the Falcons run the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I can see Garoppolo being someone that, again, will be a value pick. I'm not sure as to whether or not I want to start him on a weekly basis, but I think that he's a guy that if you've got a strong number one quarterback, he's a good guy to play when the matchup's favorable for him or if your number one quarterback is on a bye week. I look at Garoppolo and I see a guy that's got the potential to throw 25 touchdown passes. He's not going to be much of a runner, but he might sneak in a touchdown or two this season. Yet when I look at Garoppolo, I look at him maybe at that top of the third tier of quarterbacks, and to me, he's someone that has a lot of value. And if that offensive line can stay healthy, Garoppolo, to me, is going to end up being someone that's going to be a must-start by the end of the season.
So they obviously made a couple of additions this offseason, but the one that came with the most ballyhoo was Jerick McKinnon, a guy that was never a full-time starter in Minnesota, obviously a converted quarterback, and he hits the open market. I was listening to somebody yesterday on NFL radio, I think it was, and they said if you were a member of the Vikings front office and when you drafted him, somebody told you he would be the number one free agent running back in four seasons from now, you would have been scratching your head trying to figure that out. But sure enough, he was, and he lands in San Francisco. I'm a little concerned with where he's being drafted. What are your thoughts on Jerick McKinnon?
I think he's a disaster waiting to happen. I think he's one of the more overrated backs available. You look at his numbers last season. You know, here's a guy that got extremely rich this offseason, despite the fact that he rushed for over 70 yards just once in 2017. That was week five against Chicago. You look at the fact that this guy had went back-to-back weeks in week five and week six. He had a combined total of 39 fantasy points. He bounced back week eight, had 20. But from the bye week on, he only had two games where he was over 10 fantasy points. And that's a major concern. He only averaged 3.8 yards per carry in Minnesota. And I know they had issues with their health with the offensive line. But McKinnon, to me, is not the back I'll go after in San Francisco. I like Matt Breda a lot. I think that he fits the offensive scheme a little more than McKinnon. Now, McKinnon's a far better receiver than Breda, but the fact of the matter is that Breda, to me, is a guy that, is someone that's got a ton of sleeper potential. I don't like where I've seen McKinnon drafted. I think he's more of an RB3 and a flex option more than I'll see him as my number two running back. And if you're drafting him with that mindset that, you're going to get, say, 1,500 yards, 9 touchdowns out of McKinnon, you're going to be burnt.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that this offensive line is good. I think McGlinchey could make them really good. They could be a top 10 unit in the league, but they're not one of the top offensive line units. They're not the Cowboys. They're not the Titans, or even if the Raiders could pull it all together, a unit like that. I just don't see that happening. And you're right with his pass-catching ability, but I'm with you. I'm laying off based on his ADP. And I would rather have Matt Breda, because I think Shanahan will find a way to use multiple backs here and spread the ball around. That's why Atlanta was so effective. It wasn't just Devonta Freeman. It was also Tevin Coleman, and it was Julio, and it was, you name the tight end of the week, and you name Mohamed Sanu, and a lot of other guys. Taylor Gabriel basically got a nice free agent contract because of what Kyle Shanahan was able to do for him over the previous couple of seasons. So I'm with you. I'm a little bit out on McKinnon. I'll pass it over to Kevin so he can ask you a wide receiver question.
Well, no, I kind of wanted to just piggyback on that and ask you, just in terms of fantasy strategy, Brandon, do you think that it gets dangerous when you're not even drafting the player? I would make the argument that if you draft McKinnon, you are attempting to draft Kyle Shanahan, because there's no way anybody was watching Minnesota Vikings games and thought that this guy needs to be a bell cow running back. But the situation, I think, has got people excited. So do you think that that's a dangerous thing that people should try to steer clear of trying to draft an offensive guru as opposed to draft the player on the board?
I think that can be foolish. When you look at what Shanahan did in Atlanta, obviously with Freeman and Coleman, it's easy to fall into the trap that he's going to do the same with McKinnon and Breda. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that this is a team that's going to have a lot of hands in the cookie jar, for lack of a better term. You look at the fact that Goodwin and Garcon, they're probably going to be highly targeted. But then after that, who's in the pecking order? You look at Kittle at tight end. Then you look at the fact that, you look at also the fact that Breda's going to be a factor in there. You're going to look at McKinnon that's going to be a factor in there. I don't see where there's going to be this one guy in San Francisco where you're going to look week in and week out and say, this guy needs to be in my lineup.
It's a good point, and it leads me to talking about Marquise Goodwin. Now, if you had to pick a guy, I think you and I are on the same page. I think the ball gets spread around a lot in San Francisco, so relying heavily on Jerick McKinnon could be a mistake unless somehow he got all the goal line touches. I actually don't think they're going to do that, but if he did, that's what would make his value explode. But I can't bet on touchdowns like that going into a draft. So if there is one guy you had to pick to break out, who would it be? It doesn't sound like you think it's McKinnon, but is it Goodwin? Is it Kittle? Who are the guys that you're looking at?
To me, the guy that has interested me during the offseason has been Kendrick Bourne. He finished strong last season. He's probably looking more as the fourth or fifth wide receiver in San Francisco. They've got Trent Taylor. They drafted Dante Pettis in the second round. But Bourne last season finished fairly strong. He had a fairly solid last three or four games where Garoppolo targeted him frequently. But I think that if he can have a strong training camp, he's someone that's going to be a factor in much deeper leagues. To me, if I had to choose a more standard format, I think Breda's going to be the breakout star here. I think that he's going to be a guy. I don't see him being a 1,000-yard rusher, but I think that he's going to be able to get the ball enough to where he's going to end up with about, say, 1,400 yards from scrimmage, and he's going to have the ability to score touchdowns. I don't see where San Francisco has this one guy that's going to be a goal line vulture. You look at the size of McKinnon, he doesn't strike you as someone that's going to be a guy you want to plunge in from 2 or 3 yards out. Breda isn't that guy either. He's also undersized as well. You might want to take a look at maybe how Raheem Mostert or Joe Williams plays into this, because one of those guys could end up being a potential goal line guy. And if that's the case, well, Mostert or Williams steps up and has a strong training camp and a strong exhibition season, you're going to see that running back situation become even more muddled, because inside the 20, Breda and McKinnon could become non-factors.
Brandon, let me just ask you about the tight end situation there with George Kittle. I think a lot of people are excited for him, and they could see a breakout. You mentioned the last three games, they were averaging over 30 points. He gave you 9 points in PPR, 9 points, then 13, then 14. Do you think that Kittle could emerge as one of the top 10 tight ends in fantasy football with Garoppolo for a full season?
I think that there's a lot of sleeper potential in him. You look at the fact that, he did finish last year strong. He did have 4 catches, 100 yards in week 17. He had a touchdown reception in week 16. So you look at, also the fact that he was very targeted in his last three games. He ended up with 14 targets, and he had a nice rate of receptions, of those 14 targets. 14 targets, he ended up catching 13 of them. So, that's a catch rate that any of us will be happy with. I do think Kittle's going to be a guy that's going to end up being a top 10 this season. I like the fact that he and Garoppolo have been on the same page in training, OTAs. He's a bit bigger now. And I think that if, again, going back to what we just touched on, he could be the guy that ends up being the red zone darling in San Francisco. If they don't have a guy that they feel comfortable getting that ball in on the ground, then I think Kittle and his size is going to allow him to be someone that can end up being a huge goal line guy, kind of similar to what you had a few years ago in Cincinnati when Tyler Eifert was just snatching everything inside the red zone for the Bengals.
This is Brandon Williams. He's a fantasy sports columnist for the Associated Press and for Roto Experts. Please go to the rotoexperts.com exclusive edge package. Enter promo code WINNER for a special discount, and you'll be able to see Brandon Williams' article on veteran players and a couple of other pieces as well. To your points about Breida and Kittle, Breida currently the 56th running back going off the board in PPR leagues. I never espouse handcuffing as a dedicated strategy. However, if you get McKinnon, I think it is worth your while to back him up with Breida if you can, and you don't need to spend a lot of draft capital to do it. On the flip side, Kittle right now, the 12th tight end off the board, so people are seeing some of the value that you talked about.
When you look at handcuffing, I'm a rehabilitated handcuffer. when I look at that situation, the San Francisco situation is probably the one where you want to handcuff. You know, there are a couple of other ones, but, you know, especially at New Orleans, but there's no way you're going to get both Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara unless you're going to draft Ingram a heck of a lot higher than he should be going. But to me, McKinnon and Brain is probably the best handcuff amongst the NFL teams. You look at, you know, the fact that McKinnon has a lot of issues and is very suspect. You look at the fact that Breda knows the system, finished fairly strong at the end of last season. I think you've got to have both of them. So if McKinnon does go down or if McKinnon falters, you've got the backup right there. You know what Breda's capable of in this offense.
Good stuff. So you think the Niners are a playoff team this year?
I don't think that they're a playoff team this year. I think that, you know, they're the it team this season, kind of similar to what Jacksonville was last year. I think that this is a team that can flirt with 8-8. Their defense does need some work. We do need to see a full season out of Garoppolo before you can say that, you know, he's a franchise caliber quarterback. Yes, the NFC West is weakened this season. You know, you look at Seattle, I'm sure we'll talk about it in a second, Arizona. Also, you know, the Rams, division to lose. And I don't think you're going to get a wild card out of the NFC West this season.
Good stuff. That was Brandon Williams, Associated Press, again, from Roto Experts. Brandon, we'll have you back on in a couple of weeks to talk some more fantasy. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, guys. Looking forward to it.
All right. Have a great weekend. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the Niners and move it over to the Seahawks and Cardinals right after this on FST.